fucked up.
I ruined it. No. I ruined it.
It's okay.
Don't let him off the hook.
I don't think anybody needs to hear that.
Well, welcome to AE Double Back for Wednesday, March 27, 2024. Boy, Teresa just really, really dragged us down into this one.
I'm good at that.
She first of all requested that we start so late that we would all be very tired.
Yeah.
I was like, you think you're tired?
You know what? Hey, let's talk about stage 4 skin cancer, huh? How about that? let's just dive right into conversations
this way. we have to do something where we have to be really upbeat. Cool. Let's talk about the most depressing shit in the world because it's on my mind.
We're going to pull it out. We're going to pull this out. We're going to make this good for you and for everybody who's listening. If you're having a shit day, we're going to get you up. We're going to get you hyped and also not too loud because my kid's asleep and it's late and I don't want to wake up any neighbors.
Not as loud as I want. I know he can't hear me. Ramona!
Osprey versus Shibata. I mean, hey, if you want to get hyped,
that was
a goddamn show with Osprey.
I'd rather have seen Osprey versus Shibata.
You know what? I swear to God, they said Shibata a few times.
I already said that last week. We've already made the Shibata joke.
No, but I mean,
I wasn't listening to you last week.
Yeah, no, neither of us are. We weren't here. That was ChatGPT. No.
Oh God.
But the announce desk, I swear to God, they said Shibata a couple times.
They were ragging on Shivani hard for not being able to pronounce things. and I think some of it got it ended up in the breaks.
Because I was watching. What do you mean ended up UK there? Movie.
No, I mean like they got even weirder in the breaks. I just wait till after the show. Oh man, you're just gonna
we're gonna noogie you so fun. Hard. Mm. You're gonna get purple nurples.
Meanwhile, on the version that's broadcast in the U.S., Octopus Jones here. That was literally the only note I took because it was just a fantastic damn match. I'm just like, wow, this is fantastic. This is great. Taz has been a little weird. Oh man, that's fantastic. This is pretty great. Loved it all.
He's probably going through what we are.
Probably, yeah.
I thought this was a fucking stellar match. I mean, I don't know. How could it not be? But
I'd love to brainstorm some ways that it could have gone bad.
You know what? That's what this show is going to be from now on. We're talk about how good the show was. We're going to see how could it have been worse.
Well, here's the thing. This past Monday, I watched a couple of like Raw clips on YouTube because I'd heard like, "Oh my God, this
WWE Raw, not Eddie Murphy's Raw."
You know what? Raw is just a work of genius, and honestly, I never liked Raw. Eddie Murphy's Comedian was like one of my favorite albums as a child, but Raw, I did not get into, did not care for it.
Wow, you didn't like the red suit, red outfit?
I did not. I could never. And I still can't ever understand why you would weather a full leather suit.
Because it's the 80s. And it's expensive. No.
There's plenty of things you can do in the 80s that are expensive.
Like wear fur.
Leather.
I think it's important to recognize that Eddie Murphy was a stratospheric star at the age of 20.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I take nothing away from him or even.
I mean, that fucks you up really bad.
Yeah.
Like there's no way you're going to have good sense about what outfit to put on when you're that big, that early.
But I was watching Raw and I was really struck cause you know, like I'd heard that these were good segments. So I watched and they were good segments. And just struck by the difference in presentation, like they're all about spectacle and WWE is so good at it. I mean, my God, just like
they got a lot of money.
It just you watching, it's like, oh, and then like the feeling I get watching AEW is so different that like I don't even feel like they need to be compared anymore. They're both sort of the same thing. They're both professional wrestling, but like they're not going for the same feeling. Like I'm watching Ospreay versus Shibata going, oh my God,
it's insane.
Technical mastery and the physicality, this is amazing. And then I go over there, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many lights and shiny, and I enjoy it in a completely different way.
It's like a band, right? Say you see, let me think of a good example.
Oh boy,
I'll never come up with this one.
Paramore,
here we go.
I'll never come up with it.
Oh, I was gonna say like a marching band.
I'm like Madonna, right?
Okay.
It's really about the grand spectacle of the production, which is insane. There's like 16 semi trucks,
or I would say a Weird Al concert.
Cart around the country when they're traveling, and then other countries when they're traveling.
Did you know that Elvis never played outside the U.S.?
Yes, I did know that.
Wow.
Mostly because his manager had a felony and could not leave the United States.
And he, you know, he has to go.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, why would the manager have to go? But because of that, he wouldn't let Elvis perform outside of the United States. Yeah. Anyways, but like Madonna, right? Like, is she as good as she could have? Like, is she as good now as she was, I don't know, 30 years ago? Probably not, as far as live performance. She's still good, right? But it's really now, it's the spectacle surrounding her that makes it unbelievable. And nostalgia. And the, you know, all the words of the songs. And, you know, whatever, right? So it's like that versus someone like Billie Eilish. She's right in the groove of her career right now. You know, this would be the time to see her. I don't know.
See Billie Eilish before it's too late, everybody. You never know what might happen.
Yeah, she's
Billie Eilish is the Konosuke Takeshita of the music world.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, sure. Accept it. It is true.
The Ospreay Shibata of it all. Out there. Technically proficient.
Technically, that's the segment we're on.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, really, really good. Really fucking great. And a great way to start the show. And I didn't know. I honestly wasn't sure if Ospreay was going to win. He did win. But
there are a lot of matches tonight. A lot of matches that made you think, like, well, of course he's supposed to win. He's got to win, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, well, but Shibata. And, like, well, I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, Ospreay won. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yes.
Same.
We had a promo, package promo type thing with Brian Danielson. He's talking about if this is his last year, which I'm like, wait a minute. Is this his last year? Is this his fucking last year?
This is it.
Did you not know that? He's been talking about it for almost a year now.
Honestly, it hasn't sunken in for me that this is it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like this thing where they're like, this is it for real. I'm having a moment with all of you saying, this is it. Look into my eyes. This is it.
I can go back to the episode that he said essentially that.
I just don't want to believe it.
That's fair. That's fair. And he's still got, I don't know, 6 months-ish?
Yes. Could be less.
He's got stage 4 Matt cancer.
Oh boy.
stage 4 ring rust cancer.
I think it's interesting to
got into his lungs.
Oh man. That's not what you want.
No. I thought this was a fantastic promo though. Like it's like, oh damn, dude. He sells everything like it's the last day on earth. mean, it's just incredible.
I think that when a camera operator or director or whoever secures the shot where somebody like Bryan Danielson like has his head lowered and raises it, and you see like his grizzled visage and the 1,000-yard stare in on his face, that like they should give the people that achieve that like a steak dinner.
A steak dinner.
Yeah. You know, it could
take
be
taken to Mr. Steak.
Yeah.
That was the steakhouse in my hometown, Mr. Steak.
Really? Mr. Yeah. Steak.
Mr. Steak.
That sounds it's original. Terrible.
I mean, it's uncomfortably close to mistake.
You're right. What's funny is that, like, well, I guess whatever. I'm gonna shut
up. You realize?
No,
funny?
I want to know more about Mr. Steak.
Well, I mean, I don't
was
know
it an objectively there,
I,
good look, steak?
I don't know what else was in my.
They don't say
town,
it's
okay?
a good steak.
It's
sent to Mr. Steak.
It's the steakhouse you take your kids to. Okay, I don't Ooh, know
okay.
about
okay,
other
that
steakhouses.
One, that one. That's fine. That's fine.
All I know is that's the one I was ever present at, and I think only once. But yeah,
my 4-year-old son will have the 2-ounce T-bone.
It's like, okay, remember when on The Simpsons, Homer and Marge, they wanted to have the anniversary dinner, but the babysitter canceled or something like this. So then they had to bring the kids. So instead of the gilded truffle, they had to go to this like up, up and away like this. Airplane themed restaurant where like like you're eating in these tiny little seats on these little trays on an airplane and then the like people outside kind of move the they say, "Now let's tip our wings to the left in honor of The Simpsons celebrating their anniversary," so the people outside like push the plane up to tilt. Because it's like on the ground, you know what I mean? Oh,
I just looked it up, and Mr. Steak went out of business like after they saw they had a decline in business because they tried to go away from the steak to fish salads and chicken.
Are you serious? Is that a thing that you did?
100% correct.
How did you find Mr. Steak? Was there a Wikipedia page for it?
That's right. Yes, there was.
Why?
Yeah, because it's a thing that existed in this world. Therefore, it deserves a Wikipedia page.
I am distressed, very distressed that exists.
I think it's incredible that they were like, "Listen, we're Mr. Steak, and we are all about fish."
I mean, name me a place that doesn't do that. You fucking think Starbucks mix all their bones on coffee anymore?
Yes.
Make it on puppuccinos.
They make it on friggin' puppuccinos. Puppuccinos and...
And terrible PR mistakes.
Oh, boy.
Puppuccinos and strike breaking. That's what they're good at.
Glad they stopped letting us hang out at Starbucks. That was too much of a time suck.
Mr. Steaks. All right.
RIP Mr. Steak.
Thumbs up, Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
I middled it, and I don't recall why. I mean,
you're questioning yourself here.
Are you going through a paralyzing existential crisis?
It's entirely possible. I mean, it was around 5 o'clock, which is... 5:30, that's usually when I do my paralyzing existential crises.
That's good.
I'm glad you can schedule it like that. It makes things easier when you know it's when it's happening.
Well, Teresa, schedule around it.
Teresa, you need to be depressed smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that's words to live by.
That is a t-shirt if I ever heard it.
Okay, so you don't know why.
Yeah, but I mean,
no information there.
If I wrote it down, I have to abide by it. I have to believe that for whatever reason that I did not record, which probably would have been useful for that.
Wadib, as written.
Indeed.
So then we've got Renee. Renee's talking to the Young Bucks, but Nick is all pissed off at how she's talking to them. And he's like, where's Marvez?
Where's Marvez?
This is a first.
I love it.
The small little tweaks they think of to convey heel. Like,
smile why, at the end.
Why would asking for a particular interviewer be a heel move? I don't know, but these motherfuckers did it. They made it. So just that thing, it tells you just a little bit more how much jerks they are.
It's really very progressive and enlightened that they were like, we prefer to abuse a male interviewer.
I also love that they throw in that, oh, you should smile more.
Yeah.
Or something at the end. Because as every woman you've ever met in your entire life,
mm-hmm.
all have the same horror stories of every day by countless fucking strangers being told, you should smile. You'd be pretty if you smile. Smile might not be so bad. Smile. Hey, why aren't you smiling? It's like, fuck you. This is my face. Leave me alone.
I mean, the weird thing is that
thinking the thoughts.
All women, you know, are just not as pretty as they could be. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's
true that our purpose on this earth is to be these bubbly, cheerful bursts of joy in every scenery you take in. Therefore, mm-hmm. we should be smiling so that you, passerby, can feel good about your day.
I mean, look, that's how my dad raised me. Also, I never met my dad. But I imagine if you were around, that's what he would have told me.
And I don't know that I relate to the people who say these sorts of things to women, but I just know that if I'm like at the on the subway and somebody is grinning their ass off, like that's deeply concerning to me. And
And especially when they're staring at you, you're like, "What is going to happen next?"
Yes,
thumbs up.
Then we see a Ferrari. Oh, guess who it is? The Rainmaker. Okada pulling up with his gold belt and his red Ferrari. Ooh. He's coming to watch the match between Young Bucks and Private Party. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I loved this match. Oh, man. I made sure to write down Quinn's flip when he landed directly on his back. Yowza. Ouch. Yeah. My God.
6:30. Jesus.
Holy shit. I love Private Party so much, and I think they're fucking fantastic. And I love the Young Bucks, and I just loved this match.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it because I thought it was funny. I thought there was some good bits. It's heel on heel. I feel like there's never enough heels. I love heels.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should be a heel.
Yeah. You know what? I think all women should wear heels.
Yeah.
That makes them look prettier. Their calves are. That's what we're talking about, right?
Makes your ass look
I got the right.
I don't think you wear them on the ass.
It's just like stapled on. Like, sorry, ma'am. Ma'am, I don't think you...
When you wear them right.
there was an interaction where I think it was Excalibur was called them like Nicholas and Matthew, like correctly or whatever. And they were just kind of ribbing him. And he was like, do you think he thinks I did a good job? And Taz was like, no. It was just the rhythm of it. It's like such a well-oiled machine there.
Yeah, they're good at what they do.
No, it's delightful and enjoyable. Like every episode, to really feel like this authentic, like genuine, like series of interactions with them. Like it feels very different from what we had been used to. Like, which might be different now. I don't know. Maybe your Raw segments would prove me wrong.
Nah, I don't think so.
But I really love this match. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yes.
Same.
We've got Don Callis. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Fucking
are they
amazing
trolling
promo.
WWE and their fans with all these videos? Is that what this is about?
I don't know, but they're doing it. Was Don Callis. This is regarding Swerve and Takeshita. And fucking A, man. I mean,
it's a good promo.
The man is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And his little line on his head. I was just thinking, like, so funny how many things that if you weren't there for the inception of it, what do you think of it? Do you just think, if you've never seen Don Callis before, do you just think, oh, this guy's got this fucking, like, red mark on his head? But to not know, like, the backstory of it, I don't know. It's just the funniest shit in the world that it's become a thing and it's a forever thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff where it's like if Don Callis had gotten a red eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would be using it.
He'd be wearing contacts.
Cyborg eye. Mm-hmm. He would be Cyborg Callis from here on out. He'd be like, I got a computer chip in my eye and I can read the room, infrared. I can do the whole Terminator thing with this. So he would be doing that. I implore Christopher Daniels, please do something with that incredible gift that was unfortunate and yet very fortunate. And, if you look at it.
But Christopher Daniels, don't worry about smiling or not smiling. You do you.
No, don't worry about smiling. In fact, don't smile. In fact, do the full cyborg. I can't do contractions. Oh, I cannot do contractions.
What is this cyborg? Why is the cyborg trying to lie to us?
Me not know contractions.
Uh-oh, cyborg went too far. Went into caveman.
Caveman cyborg. Oh, now I might be a simple caveman cyborg. Oh god. Oh, this is so stupid. Up. This is so stupid.
See, this anyway. Is what happens when we record too late. We get
this makes no sense. All right. Don Callis, thumbs up.
Thumbs up, yeah.
Okay. Car pulls up. Another car.
Another heels. Car.
All we see are heels. You know who it is? They're shiny heels, though. Sparkly heels.
Oh.
It's the CEO with really cool hair. I mean, this is just a blip. Yeah. We don't thumb the I just showed up here.
No.
The car that pulls up be a piece of shit and the person who gets out of it be Columbo?
Oh, man.
I mean,
it
aside from
the
fact
shit
that
and it could be me.
I mean, Peter Falk's dead, so that's going to be sure enough. Let's AI that motherfucker.
So, Tony Hawk and Darby Allin talking about skate parks, donating to skatepark.org.
It was interesting to view the entire thing through the perspective of Darby Allin was supposed to do something for charity for Tony Hawk and he fucked up and now it's not happening.
Oh, is that why he was going to Everest?
That's apparently what he said. The object of it, yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. It's like, now you own my soul.
Hilarious, but also adorable as hell. Like, this is like a charity for kids. It's skateboarding, which is Darby Allin's thing. Mm-hmm. And to reveal that, it wasn't some weird macho extreme thing that, I'm going to climb this mountain just because I'm fucking awesome. It was I'm going to do this for charity. I like Darby, but I like him 10 times more now.
Yeah.
Just because be a good person, to do a good thing, and to also have it like completely mesh and work with, you know, the thing that you already have is cool as hell.
Yeah. Good on him.
Yep.
Do we thumb the segment? I mean, it's just like a thing. Commercial. Was it a commercial or was it actually part of the show? I wasn't clear.
It was part of the show.
Okay.
And, you know, so like in that regard, I would say, yeah, because, you know, it got him over to me.
Okay. Like, well, I'm going to middle like it.
Oh, my God. Do you not love children or you hate skateboarding?
I have a thing about taking time away from the show.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Okay. It's just been a standing thing for me. But I appreciate it. I appreciate what he's doing. I appreciate this commercial for skate parks. Hi, Ramona. I myself spent many an idle hour at a skate park as a kid. Oh, my God. Yeah. It was like, well, in my town, we had the world's oldest indoor skate park.
Was it called the Mr. Skate?
No, it was called Skank Skates.
Skanks. Okay. Skanks for reals?
Yeah.
Like in the sense that we use skanks today, or does it mean something else to Idahoans in the 80s?
Do we use skanks today?
This was in Illinois.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I have no frame of reference for Illinois.
It was, I don't know, it was just like...
I mean, at one point, skanking meant like dancing at a ska concert.
Yeah, I think it probably was more along those lines, but I honestly don't know when it was opened. I only know that while it was around, which I don't know if it's... like even around anymore, but it was a place where young ne'er-do-wells could just like spend time and not get hassled by the fuzz.
I bet like they would call the cops on you every time a group of young teens showed up to Mr. Steak.
The Mr. They Steak walk was in going like,
hey, what happened to the skates? Skank, not skit. It's across the street. You want the skanks across the street?
Yeah, I would like to order a skateboard.
Oh, you mean our charcuterie? No. Anyway,
you mean our 60-ounce porterhouse? No.
All right.
Hold on, Calder. How did you feel about this?
About the charity segment?
Yeah.
I guess it was a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you love the children then, so that's good.
How dare you say I don't love children?
I'll say it to your face.
I devote my weekday hours.
I think Skank Skates is still there.
Oh, Jesus. Why? How are you? Why
the does internet. The internet have what this are, Who are you, Grandpa? Grandpa. Grandpa. Look, the internet exists.
Right, but why would some random ass steak shop in Illinois come up?
Teresa, like is this it?
First Look. Of all, the steak shop, that was Idaho. Skank Skates was Illinois.
Like, it's in the signal. Is that it?
What? Oh, is it? Oh, let me look. Yeah. Where'd my phone go? Bink, bonk, bonk, bonk. Let me just waste everyone's time.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was going to be this big of an ordeal.
Yeah, that's it. Skanks.
Wow. they're staying true to their vintage webpage design.
Let me tell you, this place has gone through many iterations, and it's, well, whatever. I don't need to chat about it more.
Oh, we've hit a dark area.
Yeah, well, no, I'm looking at the Mr. Steak Wikipedia, which I continue to not believe exists. Yeah. Okay, there were 278 Mr. Steaks. I thought there was just like one in your town, and that was like a local. Some guy named Fred was like, you know what? I'm going to steak shop. I call it Mr. Steak. Because Mr. Steak is a dumb name for a steakhouse.
Yeah, it's so great is Mr. Name. Egg Roll, and there's Mr. a steak fucking a... Chinese restaurant in I Illinois God, called Mr. Egg Roll.
I swear to God, Illinois needs to be burned to the ground, every last inch of it. I did not know that there was a Mr. Egg Roll.
Yes, sir.
I am Isn't that appalled terrible? There's a Mr. Egg Roll.
I mean, me too. I'm also appalled.
I'm picturing Mr. Egg Roll. The racist caricature that's on the giant sign out front. I'm going to look it up now to see if that's in fact the case.
No, I don't remember. No, I just looked. It was just like in silver letters, Mr. Egg Roll.
Teresa is on record. The mascot is sensitive to race.
Well, the fact that I experienced a place called Mr. Steak in Idaho meant that I wasn't so surprised to see a Mr. Egg Roll in Illinois.
There's a ton of Mr. Egg Rolls. None of them seem to be attached to any other one, which is weird.
They're all playing someone's the field. Like, that's hey, smart.
Someone's like, hey, that's a great idea. I can just name my restaurant Mr. Egg Roll. Cool.
Like, yeah, like here. Here's one in San Juan. Here's one in Des Moines. Here's one in Cartersville. Here's one in Snellville, Georgia.
San Juan, Puerto Rico?
I guess. I don't.
This is the real crux.
All of this makes me deeply, oh, yeah. Deeply
Mr. Eggroll Springfield. Here.
Why couldn't it be Ms. Eggroll?
Okay, I'm looking sexism. At the I'm looking at the logo for Mr. Egg Roll, and
I'm sending it you a picture
to be Mexican. I don't. Huh? Oh, you know what? This this entire account is in Spanish, so I guess that's why he looks Mexican.
Oh my god, dude!
Is this egg roll place a Mexican restaurant?
I don't know. I don't know what you're looking at. The internet is a weird, wild place. Now let's get back to what's really important.
More important than a racist Mr. Egg Roll. I can't imagine.
I mean, how is it racist? Maybe that's his last name. Egg Roll. I don't know. How is anything named?
Egg Roll. James Egg Roll.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Did we...
Wait, I don't even know. I don't know. We
Tony Hawk. Okay, right. Okay.
Hook and Jericho.
Tony Hawk.
Renee is interviewing Jericho and Hook. And basically, it sounds like Jericho's saying, like, he'll be Hook's manager.
He was like, hedging.
You want some advice from me? I'll give you advice. And it's like, yeah. What? That's so dumb.
He explicitly did not say manager, probably because that would sound basically like retirement, you know, like, well, I'm going to stop wrestling and just be your manager, you know, right. Which Jericho's not going to want to do. I don't think people really want to see that. Or maybe they do, because I do. I want to see him just be a straight. I want him to see him be the Don Callis to Hook.
That yeah, but he'd have to start being old Jericho. Not this, like, good guy right. Jericho.
Yeah. It's got to be evil Jericho, which would be fantastic. See, yeah. That works. That works on every level for me.
Yeah, but Hook is a good guy right now.
Yeah, but if he's, you know, like, tempted to the dark side by this guy who takes him under his wing and, you know. I mean, isn't that actually what happened?
It's 5:30.
Like maybe
my darkness is coming.
maybe like Jericho plies him with some Mr. Steak and suddenly he's amenable he's to turning like, evil.
Wait, you got me Mr. Steak and Mr. Egg Roll? Luxury.
Wow.
Mordash
is wild in this town. I could get all of them. I could get a Mr. Mr. Special.
Mr. Special.
Here he is down the road that Mr. I Pibb must travel. With that, please.
Oh, yes. I'd like my Mr. Steak and my Mr. Egg Roll with a Mr. Pibb.
I like my steaks like I like my misters. Question. I don't have a
question. Was this the announcement that Jericho was making?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Because it wasn't. He didn't even announce anything. This was no announcement.
You were not incorrect.
No. Not.
Really going out of his way to not say you're right.
He changed his mind because of something. Something came up to where Tony's like, wait. You can't do that yet. I haven't sold London yet. So you need to do this at London so that more people will want to buy tickets. And therefore, you can't say you're retiring yet.
Well, I don't think he's retiring. I don't think he wants to retire. I think he still thinks he's got a lot of years left in him in the ring.
Once he goes caveman cyborg, who knows how many years in the ring he has?
Yeah, he can go forever. I was worried that he would ask to reform the tag team and then have a go at the tournament, and you know, I don't want that. I love Jericho, but I don't want to take the ring away from him. But also, I don't need to see him as an in-ring competitor. Certainly not as much as we do currently.
Look, I would love to see him. If he wanted to be an in-ring competitor, I would love it if he were heel Jericho. That I can handle.
Yeah, that would be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just more fun. More fun promos, more fun shtick, all of that. But this whole thing, it just feels so wrong. It always just feels so wrong.
That's what it comes down to, is like, we just want heel Jericho back.
Yeah. Come on, go out on a high note, Jericho.
I don't know. I did thumb it up.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to whatever is happening here. It probably deserved a middle, but I gave it an up.
I middled it.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
The thing that I was like really hung up on was like so Jericho says like he'll give him advice, which I hope would be like about how to bet on the horses and stuff like that. You know, like disreputable uncle kind of advice.
How to pick up girls.
Yeah. Yeah. How to execute the Mr. E like dating system.
Yeah.
but then he's like, oh, like I'll give you whatever advice you want, and Hook is like I'll take your advice. You're Chris Jericho, but you're Chris Jericho, and I know who you are. And that felt like something that Matthew McConaughey would say. No, like it was this like labyrinthine, like impenetrable, like statement of fact.
My hero is myself 10 years from now.
Yeah, it was just like that, yeah.
Fucking eat the ego to say some bullshit like that. My hero is me 10 years from now. Fuck you. Not the guy you played, the person who died, whose life you just portrayed and won an Oscar for, you piece of shit. Sorry. I've wanted to say that out loud for a long time.
You've been holding that in for a while.
Yeah, it's
save
a
it,
many
save
years
it for
ago.
When you meet him.
Oh, you know what? I will. I'll be like, are you your hero right now? Wait. Okay. So if Hook is saying, I know who you are, that could foreshadow us seeing the bad Jericho, which is what we want.
Hopefully.
So it could foreshadow Jericho doing something underhanded, switching to the dark side, and becoming the funniest fucking commentator ever.
Possibly.
Mr. Mimosa match. My jacket costs $7,000 and it's covered in orange juice. Yeah.
Like I was just like watching the entrances for like that very long ago Jericho Moxley match, and like I was just thinking like how lucky it feels like they were to be able to put on a match like that at that time.
Yeah. Oh, Ramona, why are you so cute? Oh, you're just the cutest kitty. Oh, I can't take it. No, don't lose your fucking shit. All right. So, okay. Then we have CEO Mercedes Moné on desk. But then we have this insane match, but it doesn't totally make sense to me. Willow, Anna Jay, Chris Statlander, Sky Blue.
It was very confusing at the beginning when I was like, wait, what match? Who's?
Yeah.
Who's?
It's all in contention for the belt. TBS belt.
Chen, I was just imagining you like in a perplexed tone saying to yourself, whose house?
That's just who's? Out of nowhere. Swerve's house. What? Jesus Christ, I'm alone. Why?
What's up? Who's up? Knock knock. Who's there?
This match was like one of those ones where you don't know like anything about the match, or maybe you think you know, but as the competitors start coming out, like you start getting more and more confused. Yeah. And like only when they actually start wrestling does it kind of congeal into some kind of sense. Because like I was like, this is all fine, because I think Willow Nightingale came out first.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, Willow Nightingale. I think I remember who's in this match. So I start writing down like Willow and Statlander versus Anna Jay and Sky Blue.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, except
the very next person after Willow who comes out is Anna Jay. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like,
it was very weird.
This is like, put on a pot of coffee. Like, this is going to take a lot of figuring.
I thought the match was fine.
It was a good match.
But I just hate the fact that they do these things to women all the time, because they don't have the guts to give women like appropriate match time.
Agreed, although I will say that like I thought this was a good showcase for all four of them, and I do like these kind of matches because they tend to be fast-paced. Everybody gets like do spots,
they all get their little jabs in.
And it just goes like da 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 instead of having to wait for things, and it's a nice change of pace. But the fact that it's the only time we get to see women wrestle kind of sucks.
Yeah, it was in that sense. It's a bit of a bummer, but like I did like the match and I thumbs it up.
Yeah. Mercedes is not good on commentary.
I thought she had some stuff that was good. She was cracking me up at certain points.
I just felt like she doesn't. And look. Announcing is hard. Like whenever someone does do a real good job, we rightly go like, oh man, I'm surprised they could do that well. That's really good. But because she is in that sort of still WWE like writing place, when Taz asks her like, okay, like you've been in the ring with Willow, tell us like what it's like, what does she do, like, you know, like what are some things she's tough at or whatever. And then Mercedes just goes on about like, well, she's, you know, like, you don't trust her because I've wrestled her before and I just, you know, have beef with her. And she doesn't like talk about, she doesn't answer his question. She just has talking points, and she has a moment. She's just going to give those talking points.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
classic, you know, caveman cyborg.
It's a classic guy caveman, who does caveman? Improv and being bitchy about people who don't.
I would love an acting coach like being like, okay, there are essentially five different kinds of two-person scenes. There's caveman cyborg.
Caveman cyborg caveman, which sounds like three people, really only two.
All right, now Shane, are you? What are you in this scene?
Well, I guess I didn't really think about it. Maybe I'm a caveman cyborg that doesn't know he's a cyborg, so I'm a caveman cyborg caveman.
Wrong. You're a cyborg cyborg caveman.
I knew I was wrong with my instincts.
Never trust your instincts.
Best advice ever. All right, we got
Seems
Renee.
Like a good class. I would take this class.
Yeah. Okay, you owe me $800. Oh, okay. Renee is talking to Dustin Rhodes. Oh, and then the butcher shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like passionate crumb dusting. Or did he call him passionate crumb Dustin?
I heard crumb, and whatever was around that was irrelevant.
Because the butcher, Dustin Rhodes was saying something like, nobody else is as passionate. Every one of my matches is a banger. And something about a passion. And butcher's like, passionate crumb dusting. That's what I heard. But maybe he just said passionate crumb dusting. And I was like, hell fucking yes, butcher. Hilarious. And then Dustin's all like, ooh, stinky. And he's like, that's my mustache. It has its own musk.
Pretty good.
Fucking funny. Very good. It's great. It's a soup strainer. It's got stuff in there. Snacks for later.
There is nothing I love more. I will be watching Rampage. And I am curious, are they maybe possibly giving Butch a little bit of a push?
I think dangerous thinking.
It looks like it, right?
Like Dustin, Dustin doesn't need to go anywhere. He's just there. He's not ever going to go up or down the card.
Pull him out for nothing.
Yeah,
he's just Ken.
He beaches.
He's just Yeah, he's usually there to sort of like give someone a little bit of a rub, and
on the tongue.
The last person in the world I would have expected that for. I'm super excited. I hope maybe I'm not gonna get my hopes up, but I hope.
No, never. Don't just don't do it. No. In fact, let's all go to bed. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yes,
I'm excited.
Absolutely.
Same. Although I do want the blade and I do want the bunny. But you know what? I don't know what life is like for people. Maybe shit's not like, maybe they can't make all the shows, or maybe.
I believe Blade is injured. I believe they let Bunny go.
They did let her go. I know. And I'll never shut up about it, though. I'll never not want her back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, who doesn't? I mean, you got this big, burly dude who has a great gimmick, who's fun in the ring.
Yeah.
Fucking push him, man.
Yep.
It's great. To the moon. It's weird hearing him talk, though, because we, like, never hear him talk. It was weird when I first started hearing Wardlow talk. I was like, well, that's his voice.
Do you remember how strange it was, like, when we heard, why am I blanking on his name?
Orange Cassidy?
Brock Lesnar. No, when we heard Brock Lesnar talk.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was weird. It's still weird.
Well, it may not be a problem anytime soon. So
that's a plus. Yeah. Let's see what else. Oh, we all thumbs this?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna see.
Yep.
Okay. We got Timeless Tony Storm talking to that AMC dude.
TCM guy.
TCM.
The AOP.
Turner Classic Movies, not American.
The CID.
Movie classics, yeah.
Movie classic. It's a fierce rivalry between the two.
Oh my
God, I can't believe I mixed them up.
The CRUMB.
We're the People's Front of Judea, not the Judean People's Front.
Oh, man.
I love that movie. I watched The Life of Brian many times. Like, you should. Many, many times.
Everyone must.
Thumbs this up. It was short and sweet. It was funny.
Yep.
It was fun, but something that like came across to me previous and this time as well is that Ben Mankiewicz seems to be just exceptionally ill at ease with the entire concept of everything. he seems to have just no comfort with engaging with the entire thing.
It's like he's really worried he's going to lose respect amongst his audience. It's like they are asleep. They, rightfully have gone to bed. They have no idea what show is.
They had their Denny's early bird special, and now they're
not going to be linked.
Mr. Steak.
You're not going to be linked to this in any way. No one's going to Twitter this or TikTok this, so don't worry.
Oh, right, and I wonder also, whether to some extent that he fears being the drawn Reaper into the violence inherent in wrestling.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to be associated with these bad, rough dudes.
But what if I get hit with a folding chair?
Anyway,
so it was fun.
Thumbs up. Yeah. Swerve cuts a promo.
Yeah.
About Takeshita, fucking badass.
Yeah.
I'm so passionate. I made myself cough.
Oh, boy.
Passionate crumb dusting. I loved every second of it, and I thumbsed it up everyone's butt.
Oh, boy.
I also put my thumb up people's butts.
I'm glad you admit it.
Okay, good.
That's
good.
The first step to getting help.
Yeah, just me and Sacha Baron Cohen around these parts.
Oh.
Yeah. we got. Oh, wait, did we? Okay. We all thumbs. Okay.
Best friend. I thumb it up,
yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Sorry. I can't finish the sentence. Best friends versus Undisputed Kingdom. We've got Trent and Orange on behalf of Best Friends with cool jackets. And we've got Matt Taven and Mike Bennett on behalf of Undisputed Kingdom. I liked it. Actually really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
The more I get to see of Undisputed Kingdom, the more I'm getting behind them, but I really want to. I just wish there was more to differentiate them besides Matt Taven and Mike Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Like what would that be?
Okay, they aren't Adam Copeland, which is something that I don't like to say because it's like, just give me Edge, right? I don't want to say Matt Taven and don't want to say Mike Bennett. I want to say, just
call him the Kingdom.
Right, but it's like, I don't know. How am I going to remember their names? How am I supposed to remember their names?
Like, well, it's hard, yeah.
Kingdom 1 and Kingdom 2.
Sure.
Thing 1 and Thing 2. I would like that.
Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 1.5.
If they were United Kingdom, right, and they had, like, titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the Earl of Warwickshire.
Duke. Yeah, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Taven and Earl Bennett were,
Well, that's so much better. You have just crafted a remake of the Dukes of Hazzard, I think.
or maybe like.
Did you get Earl Bennett from Earl Grey tea? Is
that what that is? That's Mike Bennett. Or maybe like, I don't know, Knight Bennett and Prince Taven. I don't know. You're in a kingdom. Who the fuck lives in a kingdom?
Knight Bennett. That's what the... Knight Lancelot, come over here. Knight Galahad? No, we used to call you something else, but...
Sir Bennett and, I don't know, Duke Taven. Just something.
Mm-hmm.
Other than a boring name,
keep working on that.
The experience or the royal thought. I don't know.
What?
This seems like something to put Chris Jericho on.
Yeah, put Jericho on this. You know what? Jericho's going to have some time on his hands. Have him come up with, like, what titles are they being given or what names are they being given having to do with an undisputed kingdom, but that aren't boring names. Okay.
The Suzerian.
Suzerian?
The Suzerian, yeah.
I know Caesarian, but why, like, did you say Suze? Like a woman's name. Suzerian.
Well, A, because it's an actual word. B, because I know of your weakness for Sue-based names.
Wait,
titles.
Suzerian is a word?
Suzerian. Google it.
What does it mean?
After you close all your Mr. Egg Roll tabs.
There's too many. My phone broke.
I don't want tab. I want Mr. Pip.
I don't want Mr. Tab. I want Mr. Pip. Oh, Lord.
I love Trent in orange with Chuck Taylor win the big one. That is a delightful shirt.
It's a great shirt, yeah.
In terms of, like, yeah, these guys are a kind of generic. The fact that Trent and Matt Taven have basically the same style trunks, black with the white tribal markings on them. And at first, I confused the two because at one point, I think it was Taven had his back to the camera, and then, like, Orange clocks him. I'm like, wait a minute, did you just clock Trent? What the fuck? And yeah, man, if two of your teams have the same color clothes, one of you has got to wear the away team jersey.
It's called shirts and skins. That's one of you got to take your trunks off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yes, you are different people, but also, you know, in the heat of battle, maybe a little hard to distinguish. So wear your blue fucking trunks, man. Make it easy on us.
Also, it's not Suzerian, it's Suzerin. Suzerin. Sorry. Suzerin.
Suzerin.
Suzerin?
Mm-hmm. Suzerin. Overlord. Superior feudal lord. I am going to be feudal lord if
I am
start wrestling.
Yeah.
Feudal lord.
I am.
And then
also
eventually. I'll
lord
be feudal lord. We keep talking at the same time. Feudal lord, and eventually it'll be futility lord, and eventually it'll just be futile. That will be my career as a wrestler.
It's a good run.
Okay. This was a good match, though.
In terms of little things, little heel things that the Bucks do, just coming out and interrupting the best friend's hug.
Yes.
And then just going away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's magical. It's fucking magical.
Yeah. It's audience irking is what it is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you want as
it's audience irkle is what it is.
It's a Stefan Urkel. Well, you want to be a Stefan Urkel to the audience, but you accidentally are a Steven Urkel.
Mind-blowing that he was a regular human person, you know? Like, you don't understand that about Jaleel White until he becomes Stefan Urkel.
His heart broke every episode over Laura. So, I mean, I saw his humanity. Who else? Who? I made the mistake of wearing an outfit to school one day that, like, apparently he wore almost the exact same thing on the latest episode of Family Matters, and I didn't live that down for a very long time.
It's pretty funny that the entire cast hated him, essentially, for securing a long run for all of them.
They hated him?
They really, like, he was not originally supposed to be any significant part of the show. He just caught fire and they reoriented everything around him.
Oh, hilarious. Good for him.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. These are the kinds of stories you hear and you're like, so when you get cast on a show, they're like, who knows? Oh, well, actually that happened to Sam too, I guess. He became president eventually. On Veep.
On the West Wing?
Oh, okay.
Veep.
Oh.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah, thumbs up. It was a great match.
Yep.
Good shit from everybody.
Yep.
Think about the names, guys.
Yeah, think about what you would look like driving around in the General Lee.
On an 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, I can't critique the wrestling. I must critique names.
Fair.
Okay, so then we have Renee talking to Kyle O'Reilly about his first match back, how it feels, what's going on. He said, it felt great. I'm going to keep doing it. It was fine.
It was a real feel-good interview.
Yeah.
I was happy to see him again. I mean, I want to see more stuff. I want to see different stuff, but I'm still thumbing this up.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This feels like we're going to get the next step in this progression by next week, I hope.
I hope so.
Well, check the tracker on your phone and see if it's on target.
Still 46 steps. It's a pretty good day for me.
Huh. Keeping it under 100, that's important. Mm-hmm. We've got Adam.
I don't want to
Adam.
Get too muscly, you know.
Yeah, no. God forbid. We want Adam Edge. Adam Edge. Adam. Edge Adam.
Jadam.
Adam J.
Cadam Jopland.
Suzerian.
Suzerain.
Suzerain.
Lazy Suzerain.
He did an amazing promo. This is regarding his TNT win.
I love those backstage promos, like after a bloody match from the thing, all bloody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
The nail bat.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It always looks super fucking gnarly and awesome.
I hope they never find themselves in the situation where, like, the wrestler needs medical care so urgently, like, that they are like, God, we really need this promo, though.
Do it in the hospital. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah.
I mean, Darby Allin had to go get his back stitched up from all the fucking glass. I gave this promo a thumbs up.
Okay.
Me too.
Yes.
We got Swerve versus Takeshita. This was 5 stars. If there was ever 5 stars, this was 5 stars. I love Takeshita so much. I don't like seeing him lose. But at the same time, it's like, I have to see Swerve win.
Yeah.
It's such a terrible dilemma to be in.
What to do? What to do?
I must accept the loss because Swerve must move forward. Must fight Joe. Must get the belt. But this match with Takeshita was incredible. There's some weird moments there where it looked like shit went wrong, but they covered really well for each other.
Swerve is so smooth. Takeshita is so crazy athletic.
Yeah. And smart on his feet.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, style wise, it really worked because, you know, Takeshita has just this like a mobile big man kind of thing. And Swerve is like a cruiserweight who is, you know, has put on some pounds, you know, so he still moves quickly, lithely, and they play off each other real well.
Lithely.
Yep. Ooh. Blake Lithely.
Lavely. Laving.
I, I love the bit where Shivani is like, Takeshita's really blossomed under your tutelage, and Talon's like, no, use another word. Like, explodes. And he's like, oh, yeah, like my doesn't a blossom explode? It was like Talon was like, or I must have been Taz. I was like, I don't know what kind of garden you have, Shivani, but I just got to walk around with that image of like exploding blossoms.
Have you ever seen the like? There's like all these nature shows that show exploding seed pods and stuff like this.
Time lapse stuff, you mean?
Well, no, or
like actual seed pods that explode.
Yeah, actual seed pods that explode.
Oh no.
Oh my god, it's cool. Like there'll be like super cuts of like all these different plant species and how their seeds just like go nuts, and like it's really weird. But they like projectile, so they like plant themselves. Whoa. It's really neat. Anyways,
pretty embarrassing when a flower. Googling
things, if you have the nerve to Google Mr. Eggroll, then. Mm. I suggest you Google these exploding seed pods and shit like that.
I feel like I'm gonna have to put a like a safety warning around that search.
Oh, tree or flower exploding seed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, pod. So right, like Daisy, money shot.
Go fart. Tough Tarts. I was watching a detective show the other day, and the guy goes, Tough Tarts. And I was like, oh, man, I got to write that down. This hardened murder detective was like, Tough Tarts.
Quick sidebar. Mm. Benedict Wong should be in everything, but especially they need to cast him as a hard-boiled detective in something. Now it's
conclusion.
After getting halfway through Three Body Problem.
Oh, I got through one episode. I can't really get through it. It's not interesting me.
What?
It's great. Some bodies for Teresa.
It's too slow. He was in
Everything.
What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah, he's been in Everything.
Was Benedict Wong in What We Do in Shadows?
Yeah, he was the necromancer guy.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right. Anyways, amazing match.
Very good.
Swerve wins. Smojo's backstage and Renee approaches him. And I was like, oh, my God, Joe. This fucking promo. He's like, you think you're ready? No. You're not that man. I was like, yikes.
Yeah. Also, the sight of him sort of like flinching when Renee shows up is really great. He's so focused. He goes, oh, what are you doing here?
Like, she's a. Yeah.
Also, I can't think of anybody other than these two people, Joe and Swerve, that I would get excited about hearing about an in-ring signing the following week.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to show you what a mistake you're making. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're going to have a full-on WWE signing, right?
They announced a goddamn contract signing. It's probably going to be the main event slot next week's Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And God help me, I'm into it.
Yeah, someone's going through that table.
The table would be the least of the
empty chairs and empty tables. I always want to say my friend, but that's not right.
Do it however you want.
Well, if I want to quote Les Mis, then I would have to do it properly for it to still be a quote.
I mean, then it would be a paraphrase, I guess.
Okay. Paraphrase.
There's a bit in the commercial segments where they were continuing to razz each other about pronouncing things. Also, it took me a while before I realized that the reason why I wasn't understanding any of the crowd chants was because they're probably in French.
Quebec.
Pourquoi? But yeah, the announcers are getting on each other for their pronunciations, and Callis is just like, he was saying something in French, like real cheap, and then he was like, I know how to bury people in four languages. That's a shoot. I guess I fully believe he does.
That's funny.
I think when I was initially hearing that, I wasn't putting it in the context of wrestling terminology.
Wouldn't that be cool if you? I would love to be able to speak four languages, and I would love to be able to wrestle speak in four languages. Think about it: English, French, Spanish, Japanese.
Yeah,
that's four.
Yeah, I counted. I made sure.
Look, she's not just some dumb smiling broad.
No, I didn't just start smiling yesterday.
She didn't just fall off the smiling like broad wrestling truck.
The smiling turnip truck. Why turnips? I don't get it. Why is that always the phrase?
Innately hilarious vegetable. That
sounds like something someone who lived in Idaho would say is why turnips when potatoes are right there.
Why not potatoes? God, you guys are stupid. What with the turnips and all?
Who wants to eat a turnip? I don't.
Turnip and lettuce, turnip and pea. That was the punchline of a joke I heard when I was a kid, and I cannot remember the setup. The punchline. It was about something about a garden, something about a farmer. And then it's the punchline is lettuce, turnip, and pea.
I think we've finally gotten to the bottom of your neuroses.
I want to know the setup. Because, like, I thought it was so funny that I remembered the punchline. But it's a memorable punchline.
It is. It's solid. You can reverse engineer that joke.
I mean, look, I've actually thought about it. I've tried. It's not as easy as you think.
Comedy's hard.
Especially comedy you hear on a school bus. That's very hard.
I don't remember hearing any super strong comedy there.
I heard a lot of comedy on the school bus.
What I remember is how much people like activate their lighter and then press it against the backs of the seats. So there were like lighter scars on all the seat backs.
Oh man.
This is a 94% show, you guys.
Pretty good. That's a high, like going back for a good number of weeks, I would guess.
It's a good show. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those were really good matches.
Yeah.
The promos were stellar.
I think we're just in a state of energy free fall, and that's really to explain it.
That must be why, because yeah, I don't feel like, oh my god, this is one of the best episodes I've seen in months. But like, I can't think of a part where I was like, ugh, this is boring.
So,
yeah, what are you gonna do, man?
I don't remember being bored.
There you go.
I don't think I was
bored.
But
you do remember Mr. Steak. Mr. Turnip.
Mr. Turnip.
We could go to the Mr. Turnip across the street to get our side.
Can you imagine like how horrible it would be if you're looking forward to Mr. Steak or Mr. Egg Roll and mom pulls into the Mr. Turnip?
Look, there are so many wonderful ways that you could prepare turnips. You can boil them. You can mash them.
Mr. Turnip.
You could bake them. You could saute them. You could fricassee them.
Throw them in the goddamn trash is what you can do.
Make a lovely soup out of the turnips.
It's a root vegetable. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom.